Chapter 35. Caesar the Hero. Caesar fights the Celts. Caesar didn't have any intention of going back to his fields like Cincinnatus, but he knew that the Roman people wouldn't make him king yet. Before he could be king, the Romans would have to love him and trust him even more. So Caesar set out to be the greatest war hero ever. If he won many battles and conquered a great deal of land for Rome, maybe he could convince the people of Rome that he would make a good king. Caesar took good care of his army. He trained them to fight. He paid them well and gave them plenty to eat. The soldiers weren't used to being treated so well. Soon they were completely loyal to Caesar. They followed him into battle against Rome's neighbors. Caesar didn't always win his battles, but he didn't let the people of Rome know that. Instead, he only sent them messages about his victories. He pretended that he never lost a fight. The country Caesar wanted to conquer most was called Britain. Caesar thought that Britain would be easy to conquer, but he had to build ships and sail his army across the water to get to Britain's shores. He built the ships and put the soldiers onto them. The ships set out for Britain, but some of them got lost on the way, and the soldiers who did make it to Britain were cold, wet, and tired. They were sick of the ocean and ready to get back to dry land. "Look," one of them shouted at last, "land!" The soldiers clustered at the side of the boat, anxious to see Britain for the first time. They saw a misty green island with an army waiting for them on its shore. The people who lived in Britain were called Celts. They were tall, muscular, warlike men. They were so proud of their height and strength that they went into battle naked. They wore only metal collars and tall metal helmets that made them look even bigger. They carried heavy iron swords and wooden clubs, and they painted their bodies blue all over because they thought that the blue lines would magically protect them from swords and arrows. The Romans stared up at these huge painted warriors. They began to murmur among themselves, "We can never beat them. They are too big and fierce." When the boy who held Caesar's flag heard the soldiers murmuring, he jumped out of his ship into the shallow water near the beach. He started to wade ashore, holding the flag high. The other soldiers didn't want to see Caesar's flag captured, so they leaped in after him. The Celts attacked. They fought there, ankle deep in the water, for hours. Finally, the Celts retreated. The Romans landed triumphantly on the beaches of Britain. But the Romans only stayed in Britain 3 weeks. A huge storm wrecked many of the Roman ships. More Roman soldiers were ambushed and defeated. Finally, Caesar decided to leave Britain and come back with a bigger army. He came back a year later with more soldiers. This time he was able to stay in Britain longer. He forced some of the Celts to pay money to the Roman army as tribute, but the other British tribes remained free of Roman control. Caesar hadn't exactly conquered Britain, but he didn't tell the people in Rome about his defeats. Instead, he kept sending messages of victory back to Rome. He even wrote a book about his wars in Gaul and Britain called The Gallic Wars. In his book, Caesar hardly even mentioned the times when he was defeated. He only talked about his successes. He didn't exactly tell lies, but he certainly talked about his battles in a way that made him sound even more victorious and successful than he was. Caesar crosses the Rubicon. Caesar's victories made him a hero to the people of Rome, but the senators were afraid of Caesar. "If he comes back to Rome now," the senators said to each other, "the people will want him to be king of Rome. And then what will happen to us? We won't be able to run Rome anymore." Two of the senators decided that they would try to make one of the other consuls, Pompey, turn against Caesar. This was hard to do because Pompey had married Caesar's daughter. But Pompey was jealous of Caesar. He knew that Caesar was much more popular than he was. So Pompey agreed to listen to the senators. "Listen," they said to him. "Tell the people of Rome that Caesar is a traitor. Tell them that he isn't loyal to Rome. take away Caesar's position of consul before he gets back to Rome. Then you will be the strongest man in the whole city." So Pompey agreed. He sent a message to Caesar telling him that he would be arrested when he returned to Rome. He told Caesar to give up command of his army, and all the people of Rome were told that Caesar was a traitor. Far away in Britain, Caesar got the bad news. His own city was calling him a criminal and a traitor, and the Senate wanted to arrest him and put him on trial. What should he do? Caesar knew that the Senate didn't like him, but he was convinced that the Roman people still thought of him as a great hero. So he took his army and marched back towards Rome. Soon Caesar came to the Rubicon River. The Rubicon was the border of Roman land. Caesar knew that as soon as he crossed over the Rubicon, he would be in the land controlled by the senators. The senators would try to arrest him, and he would have to fight them. His army would end up fighting against other Romans. If he crossed over the Rubicon, he would start a civil war, a war that a country fights against itself. Should he do it? He stood at the river for a long time, staring at the bridge. "Even yet," he said to the captain of his army, "we may turn back, but once we cross that little bridge, we will have to settle this with our swords." Finally, Caesar drew his sword and stepped onto the bridge. "My enemies have forced me to do this," he announced. "We will march into Rome. Let the die be cast." He crossed the Rubicon on January 10th, 49 BCE. His army followed him towards Rome. Back in Rome, Pompey and the senators were trying to raise an army of their own. But no one wanted to fight against Caesar's soldiers. After all, Caesar's army had spent years fighting in foreign countries. They were tough, strong, and loyal to their leader. When Caesar and his army came in sight of Rome, all of Pompey's soldiers ran away. And before Caesar could enter the city, Pompey fled as well. Caesar marched triumphantly into Rome. No one dared to arrest him. Now the Senate had to admit that Caesar was too powerful to drive away. Caesar wasn't king yet, but he was the strongest man in Rome. Today, when someone has to make an important decision, people still say, "You're about to cross the Rubicon." Crossing the Rubicon means that you're about to do something that you can't undo. We get this expression from the story of Julius Caesar's return to Rome. Caesar and Cleopatra. Caesar now ruled all of Rome and all of Rome's territories. The army obeyed him. The people loved him. And the Senate couldn't drive him out. But Caesar still wanted to get rid of Pompey. He knew that Pompey had run away to Egypt. And down in Egypt, Pompey was trying to convince the Egyptians to help him attack Caesar and take Rome back. "I can't leave him down there," Caesar thought to himself. "He'll come marching back up here with a whole army of Egyptians and attack me again. As long as Pompey is free, this civil war will never end. I'll have to go down to Egypt and arrest Pompey and put him in jail before I can have any peace." So he started down to Egypt, but the Egyptians were having troubles of their own. They had two pharaohs, a queen named Cleopatra, and her brother. Cleopatra and her brother were supposed to rule Egypt together, but they didn't get along with each other. They fought constantly because each one wanted to rule Egypt alone. But when Cleopatra and her brother heard that Caesar was coming, they stopped quarreling with each other. They were terrified. The whole world had heard of Caesar. The Egyptians were sure that Caesar was coming to conquer them. "What will we do?" Cleopatra and her brother asked each other. "We've got to make friends with him quickly, or else he will attack us with his invincible army." "I know," Cleopatra's brother exclaimed suddenly. "Caesar's old enemy Pompey is living in Egypt. Let's arrest him and send him to Caesar as a prisoner. Then Caesar will know that we want to be his allies." "I have a better idea," Cleopatra answered. "Let's cut off Pompey's head and send that to Caesar instead." So that is what they did. Caesar was startled to get Pompey's head in a bag, and he was sad too. He and Pompey had once been friends. They had been consuls together for years, and Pompey had been his son-in-law. He hadn't intended to kill Pompey. He just wanted to put him in prison where he couldn't cause any more trouble. Caesar marched the rest of the way to the Egyptian palace, intending to tell the pharaohs of Egypt how unhappy he was. Meanwhile, though, Cleopatra had an idea. "If I can get Caesar to like me," she thought, "maybe he will help me get rid of my brother. Then I will be the only pharaoh of Egypt." So she arranged to meet Caesar all alone. She put on her prettiest clothes and surrounded herself with beautiful treasures of Egypt. Gold, spices, monkeys, slaves, and jewelry. When Caesar was shown into Cleopatra's room, he was dazzled by her beauty and by the riches all around her. Cleopatra said sweetly, "If you'll help me get rid of my brother, so that I can rule Egypt all by myself, I will share Egypt's riches with you." Caesar was overcome by Cleopatra. He fell madly in love with her and agreed to do everything she said. He told his army to fight against the Egyptians who were loyal to Cleopatra's brother. The Roman soldiers did as they were told. Cleopatra's brother was killed in the battle, and Cleopatra became the sole ruler of Egypt. It was time for Caesar to go back to Rome, but he delayed. He didn't want to leave Cleopatra. Instead, he stayed in Egypt, keeping his new love company. But the senators back in Rome still wanted to get rid of Caesar. "This is our last chance," they said to each other. "Let's raise an army of Romans who are loyal to the Senate and try to defeat Caesar one last time." So they gathered together an army and marched down towards Egypt, ready to attack Caesar. Caesar hadn't forgotten how to fight, though. He got his own soldiers together and defeated the Senate army in record time. Caesar was known for his fast victories. In fact, after one victory, when a friend asked him to describe the battle, he answered, "I can do it in 3 words. Veni, vidi, vici." In Latin, the language of the Romans, this meant, "I came, I saw, I conquered." The death of Caesar. Caesar finally left Egypt and came back to Rome. No one could fight against him anymore, and the people loved him. So when he came back to Rome, Caesar was made dictator for life. A dictator can do whatever he wants. And once Caesar was dictator, he took power away from the Senate. Now only Caesar could declare war, pass laws, and raise taxes. He started to make money with his own picture on it. He paid for gladiator fighting and chariot racing to amuse the people of Rome. Everything seemed to be going his way. But then Caesar did 2 things that made many people angry. First, he called the Senate together. "I am the dictator of Rome," he told them. "But the kings of other countries will respect me more if you call me King Caesar. So from now on, I want you to call me King." Second, "I want my nephew Octavian to be king after me. I'm going to adopt him to be my son. I want him to inherit my power, too." The Senate was horrified. They wanted to choose the next leader of Rome. They didn't want another Caesar on the throne, and they didn't want kings of Rome to keep on passing their power on to their sons. "We have to get rid of Caesar once and for all," said one senator named Brutus. He had been a friend of Caesar's, but now he too was worried about Caesar's power in Rome. "Tomorrow is the 15th of March. We'll attack him as he enters the Senate and stab him to death." Other senators agreed, and the plans were made. Caesar was doomed. Caesar didn't know anything about the plot to kill him, but a Roman writer named Suetonius tells us that many strange things happened to Caesar leading up to that day. He went out to visit his favorite herd of horses and found that the horses weren't eating. Instead, they were crying. This made Caesar so nervous that he went to the temple to ask the gods why his horses were so sad. But while he was in the temple, a fortune teller came up to him and whispered,
"Caesar, Caesar, beware the 15th of March."
When he got home, Caesar told his wife all about the strange things that had happened that day. During the night, she had a terrifying dream. She dreamed that she was holding her husband in her arms and that he had been stabbed to death. She cried out, "Caesar, Caesar," and woke up. She sat straight up in bed, and the door of their room flew open, all by itself. When Caesar got up the next morning, his wife pleaded with him,
"Don't go to the Senate today. It's the 15th of March. Stay home where it's safe."
"Nonsense," Caesar said. "Nothing will happen to me." He dressed and headed for the Senate building. He walked up the smooth marble steps. The sun shone on the white stone, and the sky was blue and peaceful overhead. "How silly of me to be nervous," he thought. "Nothing will go wrong today." He went into the room where the Senate met and sat down in his special chair.
"Caesar," said one of the senators, "today I want to ask you to bring my brother back to Rome. He was banished several years ago."
"Let's talk about that later," Caesar said, still thinking about his wife's dream. The senator leaped to his feet.
"Friends," he shouted, "what are we waiting for?"
He ran forward and grabbed Caesar by his purple robe. Brutus and two other senators leaped at him with knives drawn. Caesar fought back, but they stabbed him. He staggered and fell down at the feet of a statue of Pompey. When he looked up, he could hardly believe that his old friend Brutus had helped plot against him.
"Et tu, Brute?" he gasped.
In Latin, this meant, "You too, Brutus?" And then Caesar died, there on the marble floor of the Senate building. His slaves came and carried his body home. Caesar, the greatest Roman, had been killed by his own friends and countrymen. Note to parent: Caesar's campaigns in Britain took place during 55 and 54 BCE. Cleopatra was born in 69 BCE. She was 21 when Caesar arrived in Egypt in 48 BCE. Caesar was 52. Caesar was assassinated on March 15th, 44 BCE.